his precepts, have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And let us praise him now with our approach choruses. I'd like to invite Kathy to come up here and lead us, and I think Laurie is going to play for us. Thank you.
Technology. Okay, everybody, let's stand. Which one are we starting with here? Jesus loves even me. Oh, that's a great one to start with. I am so glad that our Father in Him tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Now you're awake. That's good. Let's sing some more. Our God reigns. That's a great one. Prepare for worship. Jesus, draw me close. We'll sing it twice through. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world you.
There were some beautiful approach choruses there. The Nixons were designated to do the choruses today, but they're still on holiday, but they are the choruses that they would have chosen. And I know you enjoyed singing them, each and every one of them. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us this great joy and this wonderful privilege of being able to come together on this your day, in this your house, in this holy place of worship. And we know, Father, that when we come here, that we are amongst friends. When we walk through these doors, Lord, we feel the glow and the warmth of this fellowship, because this fellowship, gracious Father, is filled with your holy presence. Because you have promised that when we gather in your name, there you are in the midst. And so we ask you, gracious Lord, be very real to each and every one of us this day as we worship you. And when we come to you, Father, we pray that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will speak to us, Lord. Speak to each and every one of us, for we know that you have something to say. And we are here, gracious Lord, to worship you. And so we pray, Lord, as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, as we seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every name, we pray, gracious Lord, that you will indeed accept the praise we bring. We worship you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 14. Solomon asks for wisdom. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God said to him, Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Our responsive reading is from Psalm 111. Please join me in that. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works, given them the land of the nations, the words of his hands are faithful and just, all his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provides redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise.
So now we come to our special music, and providing our special music today, I'm very delighted to have Margaret Brown to come up here. And if you had a bulletin, it would tell you, but it tells you on the screen, that Margaret is going to play In the Morning by Benjamin Goddard. Well, I suspect she might want to tell you something herself about that. Thank you, Margaret.
You're probably all expecting me to sing. Well, today I'm doing something different. The piano was really my first love before I ever studied voice, and I have neglected it. So I'm trying to bring it back a little bit, but I find the hands don't want to work the way they used to. However, I'll do my best, so bear with me. In the morning.
Thank you.
Am I in heaven? Thank you, Margaret. That was beautiful. That was just... It was like being in heaven. You know, the heavenly music, beautiful, calming. Sandra's sound asleep back here. Thank you, Margaret. That was lovely. We're having a difficult day today. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Almighty God, our Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to take these gifts and to take the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now what shall we do next? And who's going to do it? Shall we all do it? We come to that wonderful celebration of Holy Communion. And as always, we issue the invitation to everyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You are welcome to participate in this celebration of his great love for us.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. And a little bit out of order, we will now sing our communion hymn, 255 in the Red Book.
Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
The elders would like to come and join me, please. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God.
This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was broken for you. Take, eat, and be thankful. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was shed for you. The Lord Jesus himself said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We remember him. We remember his love for us. And we are thankful. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, for this blessed communion we give you thanks. And we ask that by your body and that by your blood, that we may be made strong in your spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Children will now be going out to Sunday school.
And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 8, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. So we come to our time of prayer, and I'm in my usual dilemma here as to what do I pray about, because I'm praying on your behalf as well as my own, and I am very thankful for that verse in Romans chapter 8, which tells us that the prayers that we have sitting upon our hearts and we have difficulty putting them into words, we are reassured that we don't need to worry about this, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, knows what's in our heart and takes all of those prayers and presents them before the throne of God. And I, for one, am so thankful about that, because prayer kind of worries me, you know. What do you pray about? And what about all the things that you miss? You know, you don't miss anything because of that promise in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, that the Spirit takes our prayers and presents them before the throne of God. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, this time that you give to us, this time that you give to each one of us, is precious time. In it, Lord, we are granted a glimpse of the eternal. In this time, Lord, we are able to feed upon your word and drink from the spring of everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, for this, and we pray at this time that we might be a people who have a heart of wisdom, and people who can fill themselves each day with the bread of heaven that you so freely provide for us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of the briefness of this time that we have here upon this earth, and to so live in your presence that we might be found righteous before you. Grace our hands with kindness, our hearts with compassion, our minds with goodness, and our wills with a holy resolve to do your will. Lord, make us instruments of your salvation and channels of your peace. We pray, gracious Lord, for others around us whom we meet on a day-to-day basis, that your wisdom may touch them, that they too may eat of the bread that truly satisfies and drink of the waters from which they will never thirst again. We pray, Father, for the spiritual awakening of those who seek life where it cannot be found, and those who are frustrated by their own frantic search for peace in their hearts and in their minds. And for those, Lord, who are unhappy and do not know why. We remember before you, Father, those who are lost and those who are lonely. And we rejoice, Lord, today as we gather in worship with our church family. We give thanks and we pray for each home represented here today. Holy Father, let your grace and your peace be upon each of them. We pray, Father, for those from whom we are separated, either by distance or by words and actions. May friends and families be united in your love and in your grace and by your care. And we pray now, Lord, that you will give hope and cause for rejoicing to those whom we now remember in our silent prayers, as we think of the sad, as we think of the sick, as we think in silence, Lord, of those whom we care about and worry about. We pray in silence. We pray for your peace, Father, upon all of our homes, and most especially in all of our hearts. We ask you to go with us when we go our separate ways from this holy place, to inspire us by your Holy Spirit, that all that we say and everything that we do may bring honour and glory to the precious name of our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose name we come to you, Father, with all of these our prayers. Amen. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 270, Wonderful Words of Life.
Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful.
We are now going to listen to the wonderful words of life as we listen to the words of the scriptures. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Just before we read the scriptures this morning, I just want to take this opportunity, I think on behalf of the congregation, Ian and Iris are leaving us this week, and I believe we really wish you a wonderful holiday and a restful time away from us, a well-deserved holiday, and hope you have a great time and return to us ready and refreshed to serve us again in a few weeks.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Our reading this morning, our first scripture reading is from John 6, chapter 51 to 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on his bread will live forever. And our second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Our thanks to Bill for those readings from the scriptures, and also on behalf of Iris and I, big thank you to Bill and to the whole congregation for your good wishes for our holiday. Yeah, we sure are looking forward to it, especially after today. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5, from which our epistle reading came today, Paul gives good advice, or he again gives good advice, on daily living. And first off in that scripture reading, he says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And it was this little verse of Paul's which led me to the title of today's message, which I chose as Wise or Otherwise. Wise or Otherwise. Sometimes we use the word wisdom when we really mean common sense. Some of the warnings that we find on some of the products that we buy or that we look at in the stores do not require a deep level of wisdom. But I guess in this modern day in which we live, the manufacturers have to cover themselves for all eventualities, as they cannot assume common sense. For example, this is a rocket, it's a firework, and it's launched from a bottle. And the warning sign on the wrapper says, do not put in your mouth. Wisdom? Common sense? Not quite sure. Now, we've all seen one of these things here. It is the remote control for the television. And for one particular remote control, the manufacturer's warning reads, "Not dishwasher safe." Well, how do you clean it? I mean, do you run it under the tap and the sink? This next one that you're going to see is a Swedish make of chainsaw. And the warning from the manufacturer seems a little obvious, but it says, "Do not attempt to stop the blade with your hand." I wonder why not. Now this next one is a very topical warning, and the warning is this. It says, "May contain nuts." Now in these times of multiple allergies, this is a very sensible warning, especially when it is found upon, you have guessed it, a packet of peanuts. If you are sending a birthday card to a one-year-old, make sure that you read the warnings first. One card intended for a one-year-old has this warning: "Not suitable for children 36 months or less." You might put that poor child at some kind of risk. Be careful. And of course, talking of children, children's equipment nowadays is covered in all kinds of warnings. And some of them might seem a little obvious. But you can never be too careful. One stroller had this warning: "Remove infant." Now let's be honest, life can be dangerous. But let's not confuse common sense and wisdom. This passage from St. Paul in Ephesians could be the warning label for the Christian life. But this warning is not a funny warning. It's a serious one. People are amazing, and sometimes people act foolishly. Now I say they when I refer to people, but actually all of us do silly things sometimes in our lives. And so it is as much on our behalf that Paul writes these words to the Ephesians. Now I'm going to read it to you again, and I want you to listen this time to what Paul says, but this time listen to Paul talking to you. Paul is talking to you. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." St. Paul is giving here very practical advice on how to live a fulfilling life. And the first step he recommends is to be rid of the spirit of the world. Do not get drunk on wine or any other alcoholic beverage. Do not partake in any substances that may impair your judgment in any way whatsoever. It's clear that the people in Paul's day were abusing alcohol, just as people today abuse alcohol and they abuse drugs. And the various forms of chemical abuse is an ancient ill that has taken its toll on many, many people. It has destroyed people and families. It has destroyed the spiritual well-being of those who become addicted. Now I realize, of course, when I started to put together this message for today, as I really believe the Spirit was leading me, that it is not fashionable for pastors to warn of the dangers of alcohol abuse. Drug abuse, yes. Alcohol abuse, no. There was a time when pastors continually preached on the evils of drink, as though that there was that was the only sin worth discussing. It's kind of like the story of the little boy drawing a picture in Sunday school, and his teacher asked him to describe his picture. He replied, "It's a cowboy going into the saloon." And his Sunday school teacher looked suitably shocked. "Oh, don't worry," the boy said. "He's not going in there to drink. He's just going in there to shoot somebody." Some of you may have been brought up to believe that it was worse to take a drink than to shoot someone. The dangers of alcohol abuse are very, very real. And I read recently that binge drinking is not just restricted to young people. It covers the whole age range. When we are unrestrained in any of our personal habits, there is a price to be paid, and that price is paid in our relationships, in the quality of our health, and in our relationship with God our Father. "Be very careful then how you live," says St. Paul, "not as unwise, but as wise." And the second thing Paul says is to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Now, Paul offers this as a clear alternative to any dependence that we might have on alcohol, on drugs, on anything. Absolutely anything. Materialism, pride, whatever it may be. And the happiest people on earth are those who are filled with God's Spirit. And that is one of the best kept secrets of society. The happiest people on earth are those who are filled with the Spirit of God. Those who are resting in the hands of God. The Reverend Douglas Mayer tells about a man who claimed to be the most accurate fortune teller in the world. A man once came to this fortune teller and said he only really wanted one question about his future. He only had one question about his future, and it was this. He says, "How will my life end?" And with great dramatic effect, the fortune teller looked into his crystal ball and he said, "Your life will end when you die." I did tell you that this man was accurate. The man nodded and he then said, "Yes, but will I be happy?" "Ah," said the ever accurate fortune teller, "that has nothing to do with the future, but what you do in the present. That has nothing to do with what you do in the future, but what you do in the present." And he was right again. God's will for us is to choose to be happy today, to be happy this day and every day, and each day to believe in the good news of the gospel and to cherish the truth that in all things God is with us and we can be victorious in any circumstances. This does not mean that we will not go through difficult times. We will. But what it does mean is that we will not let our current circumstances determine how we tackle life. Radio evangelist, which I'm sure many of you have heard, Charles Swindoll, wrote about the effect of a positive attitude in life. He wrote this in his book, Strengthening Your Grip. And he said this, and I quote, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. more important than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people may think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, than giftedness or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. And he continues, the remarkable thing is, we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in certain ways. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is to play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. And he says, I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And he concludes by saying, and so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Unquote. Paul's final advice to those who would be wise is always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. What an attitude that would give us each day, to always give thanks to God the Father for everything. For it is by God's grace that we have everything that we do have. I came across a neat little piece during the week, which is a very good thought provoker. It says, what if you woke up this morning with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? Wow, doesn't that make you think? Doesn't that make you think? How rich and fulfilled would our lives be today? Here in the Word of God is the secret to a wondrous life. Be very careful then how you live. Not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with God's Spirit, speaking together with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so for our closing hymns, we start with the hymn 108, Come Christians, Join and Sing. Join to sing.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, now and forevermore.